The Market Analysis segment is coming your way in seconds. I'm Peter Tubbs, producer at Market to Market. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
This is the Friday, June 26, 2020 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Widespread rains and moderate temperatures provided near-perfect growing conditions, sending the bears into the market. For the week, September wheat shed 11 cents, while the nearby corn contract plummeted 19 cents. Trade with China keeps weighing on the soy complex, while timely moisture didn't help support prices. The August soybean contract decreased 16 cents. August soybean meal dropped $4.20 per ton. December cotton lost 40 cents per hundredweight. In the dairy parlor, August Class 3 milk futures declined 34 cents. A mixed week in the livestock sector. August cattle improved 63 cents. August feeders gained a nickel. And the August lean hog contract decreased nearly 9% or $4.67. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index waned 24 ticks. August crude oil sold off $1.56 per barrel. COMEX gold gained $27.70 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index shed nearly 12 points to finish at 318.10. Joining us now to give us some insight is market analyst Tom Fitzmaier. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how are you today?
Good to see you. This wheat market, I'd like to say we'll start off with something positive, but it's just like all the others. Is this really just a harvest pressure story?
Well, I think harvest pressure, the July contract broke on the new ground, so that hit some stops and it accelerated the move down. You're at the end of the month, so there's some stuff going on with that. July options went off the board today. But it's a pretty good crop. You're, you know, in a glut of harvest, so this is what tends to happen. You've got wheat well priced well above corn, so that's some downward pressure on the wheat market. So just a combination of things, I think, are pressuring that market. I don't expect it to stay down here without some kind of recovery, but it was not a pretty week for sure.
We have the U.S. wheat right now is overpriced at the U.S. Gulf compared to German and Russian product, would you say?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I don't know if I can judge that or not, to be honest with you.
Okay, that's all right. So are you making a sale right now or not?
No, I think you'll see a recovery rally back up at least above $5 on the nearby and on the December contract. So I guess I'd wait for that kind of rally before I sold anything.
So there is some optimism in wheat. I'm pretty sure the optimism in the corn market sailed, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, back in January. This one's a tough commodity. Story of the week, the bulls are feasting, or the bears are feasting right now, aren't they? Why?
Well, there's just we've got the potential here to have too much corn. You've got a good crop condition rating. You've got demand problems on the ethanol side, demand problems potentially on the livestock and export side. But mostly it's because the weather's been pretty good for most people, not everywhere, but for most people it's been pretty good. And we're on track to have a carryout that could reach up towards 4 billion bushel, and that's just too burdensome. You've got the South American corn is going to be competitive from now through the end of October. So that's going to be a problem for exports, although exports have been good up to this point and are probably going to meet the USDA's projections. But going forward, it's kind of a problem. You've got strong prices at the Gulf, mainly because the farmer hasn't been selling. They've had to pay up to get their hands on corn, which in turn makes us less competitive with South America. So it's kind of a mess in the corn market right now, that's for sure.
We may have to go back to that December contract here in a moment. I do have a question from this one is Mitch in Hull, Iowa, and it's kind of leading into what you just said there. It doesn't feel like our typical seasonal rally has materialized. So what's your marketing strategy in pricing old crop corn?
Well, we never really got to, we got the crop planted well, went through June without a lot of adversity, so there was never really much of anything to rally the market ahead of this 4th of July period. As far as what your strategy is going forward, the basis is actually pretty good right now. So if you're going to have corn to move and need the money, you're probably better get with getting it moved on any rallies. Now, there is the potential for a little recovery after that report next Tuesday. You've got acreage is expected to drop a million to a million and a half. That could be positive, a surprise there. Stocks, a lot of people through the winter were voicing concern about the fact that the Dakota's crop didn't get planted or harvested, excuse me. Test weights were terrible. And some of that could show up in the stocks report to be a little friendly. So I'd kind of watch pretty closely next week. If that gives us a little pop on this good basis, I'd get some sales made. Because after that, if this crop gets pollinated well, farmer selling is more than likely going to pick up and you're going to see basis problems.
So is this one of those issues where you maybe want to beat the crowd? Do you dribble some on Monday ahead of Tuesday's report, or you just kind of wait for Tuesday?
Historically, anytime you sell off into a report like we've kind of done so far, it's pretty hard for it to be bearish. So I guess if there was a big bounce on Monday for whatever reason, maybe you would sell some. I don't expect that to be happen in any significant way, but if it did, you might want to. Dribbling a little out on any rally that comes along seems to have been the right thing to do so far anyway.
And rallies are 2 to 5 cents, not 5 to 15 cents, right? Right now,
correct. Getting pretty much more than that's going to be difficult without some weather adversity.
Well, the weather adversity isn't there either for the soybean market. Again, timely rains. They've gotten out of that wet feet situation. You also have another November contract pressure issue. Brazil is the customer of choice for China. There's no interest in our old crop beans right now.
The whole China mess is really the problem in the soybean market, because you've got the potential for them to do business and a lot of it, and yet they haven't. I mean, they've bought little dabs here and there just to sort of make us think they're still interested in fulfilling the phase one deal. And maybe they will, and I hope they do. And if they do, that's going to be great for the soybean market. I don't mean to get political here, but I'm not sure China's all that interested in helping Mr. Trump get reelected. So, are they really going to fulfill that phase one agreement? And it doesn't look at this point like they're going to, because most of their sales, the purchases they've made have been in new crop beans, not hardly anything in old crop. So that's kind of a problem for the bean market, particularly on the old crop side. And this China hook that everybody's got in their mouth keeps everybody from selling soybeans because they're afraid to do so for fear China will step in and rally the market on them. So it's kind of a mess when it comes to trying to market soybeans right now.
But China has been buying some of that November new crop contract and not the old crop. And so, yeah, you've got that going on. So is there either one of these contracts nearby deferred that you would be interested in selling, or a signal of maybe a sell?
Oh, I think new crop beans, I think China will buy enough beans to sort of hedge their bets against the South American crop next summer. So, but I think getting a rally in November beans much above that 870 to 895 range is going to be difficult. So you get up in that range, and I'd be a seller on any rallies on old crop. I think you have okay. to keep moving it right along.
Let's get to livestock. The cattle market has been, it finished positive for the week, but there's just not been a lot of news to prompt too much excitement. You hear these stories of a big backlog that's working through. What are you hearing as you're in cattle country today?
I don't think there's any question there's cattle being backed up. We got to, pardon the pun, chew through it. I mean, there's just a lot of beef out there. And historically, heavy weights have always been a killer for the cattle market. And then we got heavy cattle. Now that's coming down a little bit. It's getting better. We're starting to move those cattle through, but we got a lot to get through here, and it's going to take a while and probably through the middle of the autumn. Now you go into 21 and I think things can get better. The numbers are going to start to drop off a little bit. We'll get all that mess cleaned up. The underlying demand's been pretty good for beef. So they are buying it. They are exporting it. But we just have a lot of tonnage we just have to get through here in the next few weeks, months.
And we've tried to slow down in some of these feedlots, change rations, you've read, gone out to pasture. But If you're in areas where it's dry, say the plains, you don't have that pasture option, and you got to go back in. So then you're back to the weight add issue, right, on the feeder side?
That's what I mean. It just keeps backing up on us, and it just is going to take a while to get that all worked through. These heavy cattle just generate a lot of tonnage of beef.
And no real sign. Was there anything on cattle on feed last week that surprised you? I know that was a week ago and played through the market. Didn't really seem to have reaction the days after, did it?
No, it didn't. Well, it did the first day. It ended on Monday and then popped right back on Tuesday. So I thought that was, again, somewhat encouraging. And I'm not bearish cattle. I think, you know, there's maybe some downside potential, but there's upside too. I think you're in a trading range. You get the top of that trading range, you know, up against 100 probably in the August contract, then I think you have to become a seller. But I don't see it falling apart either with the underlying demand we've got.
The hog market had a report of its own, and man, there's a little bit of silver lining, but it's a lot of gray clouds there. We're still fewer animals, but yet the price just keeps falling. What's going on?
Well, again, same issue to some extent, and you got heavy hogs too. We've got to get work through. We are slaughtering; the slaughter percentage is coming up pretty nicely, so that's encouraging. I guess if you want to be somewhat optimistic, you might say they tried to put a down limit on Friday and weren't able to do that. So to some extent, that was a bit encouraging to me. And I don't want to get bearish hogs either. I think we'll eventually get that work through. And the one good thing about that hog and pig report, it shows that kept for breeding and intentions for next year are off quite a bit. Now, you know, intentions change as time goes on, and they don't tend to reduce their intentions as much as they say they're going to, but it sure makes 21 look a little better. And again, export demand has been decent, not great, but decent, and domestic demand's been pretty good for pork. So I don't think you want to get real bearish, but it's going to take a while to work our way through that too.
Okay. All right, Tom. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you in just a couple of minutes. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
All right. That will do it for this installment of Market to Market. We will talk more in Market Plus, so you can join us there. You can find it on our website of markettomarket.org. Our Twitter feed is run by four producers of this program. We keep you updated with our stories. We retweet your posts and try to interact as much as possible. Give us a follow at Market to Market. Join us next week when we look at turning the gardener into the farmer. Thanks for watching. Have a great week.